The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry from Remnant. Let's be honest, this life can be hectic, draining, and downright confusing. My hope is that by listening to this message, your life can be impacted by God's great love for you, and His love will give you wisdom, courage, and strength. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
Good morning. 2 weeks in a row. Scary. No rest for the wicked. Today we're going to talk about, I like the title I made this, of course I like it, I made it up. I ain't scared. We're going to talk about a vacation from fear. Now this really kind of dovetails with last week's message on worry. Because what causes worry? Fear. In fact, I found a really cool illustration to use in this week's message, and then I realized I used it last week and I can't use it again. Not that that's ever stopped me before. So let's open up with a word of prayer, and then we'll see where God takes us. Father, thanks. And God, we face fear, but you are greater than our fears. You are in the middle of our storms, God. I pray that you'll open our hearts today to hear from you. Thank you, Father. Bless us now. We ask it in your name. Amen. Now, I think one of the easiest jobs in the world during the summer is to be the weather person for Imperial Valley. Now for the weather, let's go to Jerry. It's going to be hot. Back to you, Bob. That's it. Now, on the East Coast, where I've spent the last couple of summers, last four summers, but the last two especially, I was in Pennsylvania the last two summers. Here's something you need to know about Pennsylvania in the summer. If the day ends in Y, it's going to rain. In fact, they have all this huge farming out there. There's no irrigation canals. They don't water their crops. They just let the rain do it. And I'm like, this is foreign. This is not how God intended it. But like I was chatting with, I lead a Bible study in Pennsylvania on Tuesday nights, by the way. Because I led a Bible study there the last 2 years when I was there, and so they asked me to do it again. So I'm doing it on a screen through Zoom. It's crazy. But they were saying how they'd had these storms, and then Chris, the manager, sent me a text yesterday with a thing of a local campground that was like maybe 3 miles away. Big storm came through and a tree fell down and hit and killed a mother and her daughter. So there, the weather job's not that easy. But I think they kind of like scaring people. Because every day they'd say, life-threatening storm approaching. You go outside and it's like one little cloud like got lost on his way to Albuquerque or something. I got to be an expert at watching storms when I was traveling the RV. I didn't want to be in a hurricane in an RV. Big box moving down the highway, that's not good. So I learned how to watch. But you know what? You get paranoid. The more you look at the storms, the more you get paranoid. I did anyway. We become expert at watching storms, not just storms in the weather, but storms in our daily lives. We pore over the election results, stock market, doctor's reports, the evening news. We're surrounded by predictions of disaster. If so-and-so gets voted in, then life as we know it will come to an end. Okay? And by the way, you can insert any politician in there you want. It's the end of our democracy. Life is over. We're still going. The problem with all of this information overload is that eventually we begin expecting storms everywhere. That's exactly what fear does, isn't it? Fear convinces us tomorrow's storm is already here today. Now, deadly storm, it's coming, it's here. No, there's just one little tiny cloud out there. We're okay. Jesus never promised we'd avoid storms. He promised we'd never face them alone. So if you think I'm here today to tell you, well, you know, blessed church, hallelujah, that if you follow Jesus, you'll never have a problem, you'll never face a storm, you're in the wrong place. Because we're going to face storms. It's part of life. It's the way the world works. So let's look at Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 35. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you think care? We're going to drown." Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they ask each other. "Even the wind and the waves obey him." Now understand what's going on here. The disciples had spent all day watching Jesus perform miracles. All day. They saw him heal the sick, cast out demons. He taught with incredible authority. If anybody should have had confidence in Jesus, it was the knuckleheads. I mean, the disciples. Right? We watched all of this happen. And now, all of a sudden, we're scared. And Jesus, in essence, said, "What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?" So let's dig into this. First of all, storms are inevitable. Inevitable. Fear is not. Okay? Look at verse 35, 37 again. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross the other side of the lake." They took Jesus in the boat, started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves breaking the boat and began to fill with water. Notice, a fierce storm came up. There's something very important here. Jesus is the one who suggested crossing the lake. You with me? Jesus could have said, "Let's walk around." He could have said, "Let's hunker down here for the night." No, he said, "Let's get in the boat and cross the lake." The disciples weren't outside God's will. They were exactly where Jesus wanted them. So tell me again how God's always going to keep you out of the storm. He just put the disciples in a storm. He got them right smack dab in the middle of the storm. They weren't outside of God's will. Oh, I said that. Sometimes we think that if we're obeying God, life should be smooth. Sorry, Sparky, that's not what the Bible teaches. Well, I became a Christian and my life's been hard ever since. Congratulations. Welcome to life. See, sometimes obedience leads straight into rough water. Yeah, I know that because I've been obedient and gone to pastor churches places. You talk about out of the frying pan into the fire. I took a church in Central California. I was there 2 weeks and I had changed something. And one of the board members said, "You're not supposed to change a light bulb here without our permission." And it was right then that I thought, "All right, God, you put me here." I was right in the middle of the fire. Now, most of you know my story. I got voted out of that church 2 years later. They told me, "You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here." And it hurt. And it was painful. And I thought about leaving the ministry because of it. But if I hadn't gone through that pain, I never would have pastored a church like Remnant. God's good. God sees us through the storms. And what comes after the storm? A rainbow? A beautiful morning? Sometimes the storms in your life aren't punishment, they're classrooms. God often teaches us things in the storm that he couldn't teach us on sunny days. Now, I hate riding roller coasters. I don't like roller coasters. There's something wrong. Now look, I don't like riding roller coasters, not because they're dangerous, but because I'm convinced that they're dangerous. People around me, people riding them are screaming. Now that's not good. Very rarely do you hear somebody screaming and it's good. Maybe it's, you know, two ladies that haven't seen each other in 20 years. Ah! And that's just wrong anyway. Ladies, stop that. People on the screaming. My stomach is like two humps ago on the roller coaster. All my internal organs are pressed against my back. And then Montezuma's Revenge at Knott's Berry Farm, I rode it. You get all the way to the top, everything kind of comes back where it's supposed to be, and then you go backwards. Now all your innards are pushing against, and all of a sudden you look like you're pregnant or something, which I actually kind of look that way a lot anyway. I'm absolutely convinced we're all going to die. Absolutely convinced. And honest to goodness, Montezuma's Revenge. I'm riding this thing, and as we pass through that loop again, I look at the operator trying to beg him to stop the thing. He's eating a sandwich. Now, he's not worried. He knows something I don't. I'm not going to die on that roller coaster. Probably. Not 100%. Probably. He says, in his mind, this is something he does, you know, 500 times a day. Oh, look, the bald fat guy's screaming. Oh, that's cool. He's not panicking. Why? Because he knows something I don't. See, I put it this way. Sometimes we're screaming while God's calmly eating a sandwich. We're screaming our guts out, and God's like, yeah, okay, you'll be all right. He's not nervous. He's never lost control. Was I behind again? Sometimes we get so freaked out about life and God says, you know what? I got this. You'll have to figure out in your life, I think I said it last week, you got to figure out in your life, is God in control? If he is, we're going to be fine. If he's not, you're toast anyway. Right? Look, let's be honest. We're not doing this all by ourselves, because if we did, we'd mess it up. Think about your life before Jesus. Anyone want to go back to that? Not me. There's a lot of bad stuff there. Second thing you need to know is that fear grows when our focus leaves Jesus. Look at verse 38. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" Wait. Let me do it the right way. "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" Then you have to add the at the end. "Teacher, don't you care if we're going to drown?" That's an amazing question. How can you ask Jesus that? You just saw him like heal people and cast demons out of people and teach. You just watched all of that. But it's incredible because fear changes our thinking. Fear causes us to doubt what we already know. Do you know that God loves you? Okay, some of you aren't sure. Let me ask again. Do you know that God loves you? Okay, a couple of you I'm still worried about. If God loves you, does it make sense that he would leave you twisting in the wind when you have a problem? It was a little quieter that time. Does it make sense he's going to leave you twisting in the wind when you got problems? No. Love doesn't leave you without hope. Love doesn't say, you're on your own, Sparky. Take care of it. Fear always tells lies. When you start going through bad stuff, God has forgotten you. How many times have you heard that? The devil just comes at us. You're facing this alone. Ooh. All by myself. You'll never survive this. Yeah. I have felt that. This is the end. This is the end of my life. Fear doesn't need truth. It only needs your attention. When I was pastoring in Delano, between Delano and Bakersfield, there's Highway 99, which, by the way, is one of the worst highways in the world. First of all, people that drive it under morons. I believe that's scientific fact. And then they get what they call tule fog. Tule fog, so thick, so dense that you can't see, like literally 5 feet in front of your car. I got passed by a Greyhound bus in tule fog, so thick I couldn't see, just barely past the hood of my car. He was doing 80 at least. I'm doing 35 and my knuckles are gripping the steering wheel. Fog is so thick. Everything you pass by, every mailbox looks like a person. Oh, they're jumping out in front of me. Every shadow looks dangerous. Here's the hint from your Uncle Jerry on how to drive through thick fog. Just concentrate on the road directly ahead of you. Quit trying to see miles into the future. You'll get where you're going safely. Okay? I don't have to worry about what's coming up a mile from now. Now, normally when I drive, I try to look ahead and keep prepared. But in tule fog, all you can do is drive within yourself and just keep looking straight ahead of you. Fear is spiritual fog. Fear wants us looking into an imaginary future instead of trusting the Savior who's already with us. Fear wants you to say, yeah, but 5 years from now, you may not be alive 5 years from now. Quit worrying about it. I got a news for you. You might not be alive tomorrow. Oh, Jerry. Thanks for the good news. Here's where it gets real, though. Jesus is more powerful than anything you're afraid of. Anything. Verse 39, when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. Now picture this. The disciples are on the boat and they are freaking out. They're losing it, right? Ah, we're going to die. Remember the movie The Incredibles? Where the plane crashes and the little kid says, we're dead, we lived, but we're dead. That's the disciples. They're just, wah! Jesus stands up, no panic, no excitement, no emergency meeting, no consultation. Well, brothers, what do you think we should do? He just stands up and says, peace, be still. Which is a nice way of saying, all right, stop. The same voice that spoke creation into existence now speaks from a boat and says, stop. And instantly the wind obeys him. Instantly the waves obey. Because nature recognizes its creator. The disciples have been looking at the storm. But the storm had been listening to Jesus. And there is a tremendous difference between those two things. Sad truth is, some of us spend more time talking to our storm than talking to our Savior. Hello? We get hip deep in the middle of troubles, and we spend more time hashing out what's going to go on. We replay the diagnosis. We repeat the financial numbers. We rehash the news feed. We look for new information. We tell everybody how impossible everything is. Meanwhile, we've hardly spoken to the one who commands storms. No wonder we're exhausted. All this bad stuff going on around us, and we're concentrating on it instead of the one who made us, the one who saved us, the one who protects us, the one who loves us. We act like he doesn't exist. No wonder we feel like we can't go on. Because I got news for you, you can't go on that way. You're past the limit of what you can handle on your own. Quit trying and let God handle it for you. Peace doesn't come from calm circumstances. It comes from confidence in Christ. Verse 40. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid?" Oops. Stay with me. Just a whale of a machine. Then he asked him, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? What are you whining about?" As he used to tell my kids, "What are you whining about? What are you I'll give you something to cry for." You know, my mom used to say that when I was a kid, and I said in my heart, I'm never going to say that to my kids. I said it to my kids. And I'm pretty sure my oldest son says it to his kids. I'll give you something to cry about. Why are you such a whiny baby? Now look, notice what he asks. He says, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" He didn't ask, "Why is the storm so big?" Right? Because that's not in their control. I've got no control over the size of the storms in my life, although I have made a couple of storms on my own because I was stupid. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, because I know a lot of us are in that boat. He didn't ask, "Why is the storm so big?" He asked, "Why is your faith so small?" Wow. The size of the storm wasn't the issue. The size of their confidence was. Faith doesn't deny storms. Okay? We're not like that little dog in the meme. You know, the little dog in the meme, and he's sitting at a table and there's fires all around him. He's saying, "This is fine. This is fine." That's not us. We're saying, "Yeah, there's a storm here. But I know that God is here." The goal isn't pretending that life is easy. The goal is remembering who's in the boat. Now, we Christians are good at this. I've said it many times. I don't have new stuff. I just keep rehashing the old stuff, so get used to it. You walk in the church, and you have the weight of the world hanging on your shoulders. Everything in your life feels like it's falling apart. You walk in a church, and somebody says, "Hey, brother, how are you?" "Well, I'm blessed. Hallelujah. I'm blessed. Ooh, hallelujah. I'm so blessed. You're so lying." Why do we put on that? Now, look, I mean, I'm not saying that you have to walk in and say, "Well, you know, my life is coming apart. You know, I got a hangnail in my big toe, and I did burn myself this week. Don't you feel bad?" Oh. Maybe somewhere in between that. How about, "You know what? This has been a hard week. I could use prayer." Here's what you've done. You've been honest, right? And you've also given somebody a chance to bless you by praying with you, giving them a chance to build their faith and build your faith. That's what honesty in the church does. "I'm blessed." God isn't just riding in the boat. Oh, I missed one. Faith doesn't deny storms. Faith simply declares, "My Savior is bigger." Okay? My Savior is bigger. I said last week about your worries. What do you worry about? Nothing. My Savior is bigger than anything I'll face. My Savior is greater, is stronger than anything I'll face. And you know, it's easy to say that, right? That's along the line of, I'm blessed. My Jesus is bigger. But how about this? Jesus is bigger than any of my problems, and I am putting my trust in him. And meaning it from your heart. Not just some empty declaration of faith. Mean it from your heart. Again, the goal in life is pretending life is easy. The goal is remembering who's in the boat with you. God isn't just riding in the boat. He's steering history. He's steering your history. Stop watching the waves and start watching the Savior. The disciples made one simple mistake that we all make. They measured the storm instead of measuring their Savior. Isn't that what we do? We measure our debt, our sickness, our anxiety, our family problems, our future. But we seldom stop to measure the greatness of our God. It's easy to get caught up in all the stuff, all the things that are pressing down on you. And start looking at him and saying, I can't beat that, I can't beat that, I can't beat that, I can't beat that. Okay, but can God? Yes. How big is your God? My mom asked me to pray over lunch one day. And don't ask me to do that. Lord, don't let anything here kill us. No. So I was in high school, I think. She said, Jerry, pray over lunch. I said, Lord, bless this food. Amen. She had her head down still. She didn't know what to do. She said, I'm not even sure God had time to hear that. And I said, well, how big's your God, Mom? My God could hear that. I'm still getting the hearing back, just getting the hearing back in this ear from the chunkler that threw across the room. The bigger your view of God becomes, the smaller your fears become. We talked about that last week. The more you see God, the less you see your fears, your worries. Israel was at war often with Assyria and Babylon and Egypt. Israel had 18 kings, and all of them were corrupt and bad. That's not a good track record. Then Isaiah 61 Or 6, verse 1. Look what Isaiah says. It was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. What did he see? The Lord. He didn't see the Assyrians. He didn't see the Babylonians. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces. With 2 they covered their feet. With 2 they flew. They were calling out to each other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory. You're telling me you can see a sight like that and still worry about your problems? He overcame fear because he saw the Lord sitting on a throne surrounded by glory. You can't see something like that. I can't read something like that and think, oh, God can't fix this. Matthew 14:30, talking about Peter walking in the water. When he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified, began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. So they're out on the boat. Peter says, Lord, if that's you, tell me, come on out. Pretty bold, right? Because has anybody ever walked on water? And I love the part where it says, he began to sink. In my the way I live, I don't begin to sink, I just sink. You know, step out on the water, you don't go, hey, I'm slowly going down, bye. No, it's like, up. And again, pet peeve of the story, we are so quick to talk about Peter. Oh, Peter, he was walking on the water and he took his eyes off the Lord and he started sinking. Whoa, whoa, what little faith he had. Hey, there are 11 other dummies that never got out of the boat. I'd rather try something and fail than never try. Remnant is a great example of something that we tried. We had no concept this was going to work. A couple of guys, no adult leadership. Nobody to warn us. Maybe that's a bad idea. We started a church where they don't take an offering. We started a church where the pastor preaches in shorts. We started a church where you don't have to listen to some lady warble during the offertory. I'm sorry, forgive me. We started a church that broke a whole bunch of rules. And we're coming up on our 20-year anniversary. Because if God's in it, you can't fail. If God's in it, you can't go wrong. Now, trust me, we've tried to mess it up a few times. There for a while, we wanted a board. And every time we asked somebody to be a board member, they left the church. So we quit asking people to be board members. So Peter took a step. He said, you know what, Lord, if it's you, call me out. And he started walking on the water. The moment he stared at the waves, he began to sink. Your focus determines your fear. What are you looking at? What are you focusing on? Now, a story from Mark 4 ends with an interesting question. Look at verse 41. The disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? They ask each other. Even the wind and the waves obey him. This really is the question that every storm in our lives brings. This really is where the rubber meets the road. Who do you believe Jesus is? Is he merely a good teacher? Or is he the Lord of the storm? So take a moment. Who do you believe Jesus is? If he's just some guy that died on a cross, you go to heaven. That's good. It's a good start. But wait a second. Is he the calmer of storms? Is he the creator of heaven and the earth? Is he the Alpha and Omega, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? And if he is, quit worrying. Suck it up, buttercup. What do you have to be afraid of? If he's the Lord of the storm, then he can certainly be Lord over your fear. I love this story. A missionary family described crossing the Atlantic during a violent storm. The ship groaned as waves crashed over the deck. Dishes shattered. People cried, and many were convinced the voyage was over. We're all going to die. Late that night, one frightened passenger noticed the captain walking through the ship. He wasn't running. It's the captain. He wasn't running. He's not shouting orders. He simply smiled, spoke calmly to the crew, and continued on his rounds. Look what the pastor said. The pastor later said, the storm hadn't changed, but when I saw the captain wasn't afraid, I realized I didn't need to be either. Storms in my life haven't changed, but God's not worried. So I shouldn't be either. How do I know God's not worried? Because he doesn't worry. Look, the disciples weren't saved because they became expert sailors. Peter's not telling John, all right, tack the mainsail. Grab the spinnaker. I don't know what any of these things mean. I've heard them on ships, you know, movies about boats. Batten down the hatches. I know what that means. They didn't become expert sailors all of a sudden. They were saved because the captain was on board. Now look, you leave here, the storms may still howl in your life tonight. The doctor's report may not change overnight. Financial pressure may still be real. Your family situation may still be painful. But if Jesus is in your boat, you're never at the mercy of the storm. You're always in the hands of the Savior. I should have put that on the board, shouldn't I? If Jesus is in your boat, you're never at the mercy of the storm. You're always in the hands of the Savior. So stop staring at the waves. Stop letting fear preach louder than faith. Lift your eyes to Jesus. Because the one who calmed the sea is still able to calm the heart. And even when he doesn't remove the storm immediately, he'll always offer something greater than calm seas. You ready for this? He offers his peace. I saw a painting of this rock outcropping, and the waves are just battering. I mean, it's a huge storm. And the title of the portrait was called Peace. And I looked at that picture, I said, I don't see anything peaceful there at all. Then you look real closely, and there in an alcove in the rock, there's a little bird, dry as he could be. He's at peace. In the middle of a raging storm, he's at peace because he's covered. I'm telling you, in the middle of the raging storms in your life, there is peace because God's covering you. Let the storm rage. Just know that God is bigger than your storm. Storms around you don't have to become storms within you. Right? It doesn't have to penetrate your heart. Keep your eyes on Christ, trust his promises, and let his peace silence the fear that the waves are trying to shout out. Folks, you can do this. I got to be honest with you. I don't always get an A here, but I'm working at it. Every time I start feeling pressured, I say, okay, wait a second. God, you're in control of this. I put my faith and my trust in you. And sometimes it takes a little while for that to sink into my heart, even though I say the words. Okay? But keep saying them. Because the more I focus on Jesus, the smaller my fear becomes. The smaller my worry gets. And the greater my peace gets. So what are you facing today? What are the great worries, fears in your life? Take them to God. God, I can't fix this anyway. Let's be honest. You're not making yourself any better by worrying about it. We talked about that last week. Jesus said, have any of you added an inch to your height because you worried? No. Let's go to God this morning. Okay? Father, thank you. God, the storms are all around us, and they feel like they're going to swallow us up. But God, you offer us peace. Peace that passes all understanding. God, give us peace this morning. Help us take our focus away from the storms and onto you. All right, church, here's your time. Right now, the worries, the fears you have, God, it's all you now. I put my trust in you, my faith in you. I believe that you're going to do it, God. I'm going to quit trying to do it myself and let you handle it. Just be ready for the next thing you ask me to do. Come on, right now. Just take it to him right now. Don't say, well, I'll do it later. No, do it now. Don't chicken out. God, I give you my problems. I give you the things that I'm afraid of. God, I give you everything that wants to storm in on me and cloud my brain and hurt me. God, I give it all to you, knowing that you are the one who calms the storm, the one who stills the sea. God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your peace, God. Father, as we turn our sights to you this week, I pray that the pressing of the problems will get smaller and smaller as we focus on you. They may not go away, but we're focusing on you and your power and your strength, and we know that you're going to handle them, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. God bless us now. Keep us, Father. I ask it in your name. Amen. All right, now listen to me. Because I've done this before, okay? You're going to walk out of here. Tomorrow, one of those problems is going to come at you. And the first thing you're going to say is, oh, crud. See, I don't know what to do. Yes, you do. Stop. Look at Jesus. Stop. Look at Jesus. Take a deep breath. Say, you know what? I'm not in this alone. God hasn't failed me. He's in control. And he will calm this storm. Okay? You're going to get a chance to put it into practice. I guarantee it. Don't sweat it. Promise? Love you guys. Have a great week. A week full of peace. God bless you.
Lord, I come. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us online at remnantchurchiv.com. You built a mighty fortress 10,000